Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball show for Saturday, April 27th. Friday games have not happened yet, all but one of them here in night games. Thursday's recap, pretty solid 3-1 on the first five recommended plays, 2-1 on the A grade sides, and swept the board between the full game play of the day, the first five extra credit pick that we give out over on Twitter. And the Moneyline Parlay of the day. So a nice little Thursday for us. Hopefully we can continue to keep that rolling here. Why all of these are what I chose to display? So the following reasons. Number one, we're shifting mostly just playing the first five plays. I do believe that it's very possible that the model has honed in and is doing a really good job assessing starting pitchers. And maybe a little bit of a weaker job with bullpens. We talked about this here in recent days. The fact that bullpens are a little bit malleable day to day, don't know who's pitching, it adds a little bit of uncertainty. So maybe it's not that the model's not doing a good job with it as much as it is there's just that extra complication. That's why we like the A-grade sides, because the gap is big enough on them that even by missing something, even if a guy is unavailable that we didn't think would be or something like that, we still have a plus expected value play. And so that's why in every game I'll give you the A-grade threshold needed in order for that to be a pick. Now you can decide if you want to play it run line, money line, the minus one, that little hybrid that we talk about, depending on the game. But those A-grade sides continue to show profitability. And so I'm going to give you the threshold for every game so that you know if it's there or not. There's three or four that already are that hopefully you can get those at good prices at your book. And if you're looking for the specifics on all the first five picks, that will be available over on Double Club, as well as the play of the day Discord chat, full updates, summaries, information, everything you could possibly ask for that I can give you, and a free trial to start you out with that QR code or the link in the show description. Check out Dub Club if you have not yet. Some reminders before we get started, www.pickswiththeprofessor.com/new. That'll get you the information about the model and community rules. Weather is subject to change, of course, about 24 hours ahead of time here. And so some of these games, I'll let you know the weather won't matter. It is what it is, or some of it what will matter. So we'll kind of talk about that in each game, but do take note that the wind directions on some of these shifting just a little bit could cause some impacts for places where we have a little bit stronger wind projection. We are thinking about the average game. One game, anything can happen. Any team can beat any team. The White Sox beat the Braves earlier this year in a game. And so weird things will happen. We do not know about that. What we aim for here is a well-calibrated model that when we say 55%, we do mean it wins 11 out of 20 times. That doesn't mean it loses 9 out of 20 times, but that calibration allows us to bet with confidence, knowing that if we get a certain price, it becomes a good pick. And that's why everything is based on the thresholds for needing to get to that A grade price. And then beyond that, the model doesn't say not to do it. It's just a little bit less confident. And so if we're getting closer to that or whatnot, it's more of a lean than a strong model play. But anything is a good bet at the right price number. We just have to identify what that is. I'll tell you what the model says it is. You can obviously disagree, say it's 5, 10, 15 cents higher or lower in any direction, and that's fine. The key is that as long as we are coming up with what we think are good prices and numbers, sticking to those, that's going to be the theories, the underlying principles that lead us to profitable betting. But as always, take what you like, leave the rest. Never want you to bet on something you are not comfortable with. If I don't do a good job of convincing you, that is what it is, and we can agree to disagree. Don't bet something just because me or somebody else told you to. Make sure you do end up coming around and liking it before you bet it. And lastly, but not leastly, if you could like the show, we would appreciate that. Helps other people find us, keep us in business, keep us relevant in the YouTube stratosphere. So like I always say here, we like it when you like it. Start off Dodgers and Blue Jays, one game at 3 p.m. Eastern, nothing before that. Tyler Glasnow and Yusei Kikuchi, a battle of two pitchers who have done really well this year. One of them surprising, one of them not. Glasnow's been fantastic in his six starts. I mentioned this last time he pitched. If you're a Dodgers fan, you have to be very pleased with him and pretty much only him in the rotation because of all the injuries and concerns that the Dodgers rotation has had. But he's been a revelation, every bit as good as that 292 ERA. Underlying metrics confirm it. He was good in years past. I mean, he's been fantastic. You have to be really thrilled with that addition. Kikuchi, Similarly and yet differently, was not projected to be anywhere near this good coming into the season. But so far in his five starts, he's looked really good for the Blue Jays. 2.28 ERA, the advanced metrics put his projection going forward better than coming into the season, of course. But we still are at the point, and we've talked about this all week, and we'll probably continue to talk about it for a few more weeks. We're at the point now where you got to figure out, are these five starts indicative of what this guy's going to be this year? Or is that just a good string of five starts? And we want to go back to what we've known in the past. How do we calibrate that? Exactly how do we weight that? And the model's doing its best to do that. If you like Kikuchi, if you think that what he's done this year, which the NRL metrics say it's not fluky, what it's not like it's not that he's had good luck. He's pitched well. So there's two areas we can have flukiness right here. Is we can have flukiness because he hasn't pitched well, but he's gotten good results. That's when we say the underlying metrics tell a different story. Or it could be fluky in that he's just had games where he's pitched really well and he's not going to be able to pitch at that level. But so far, he has. How you feel about that, I think, affects how you feel about this game. The Blue Jays offense is good, not as good as the Dodgers. Kikuchi's good, not as good as Glasnow, but how much behind him do you think he is the big question. Sidelines got Glasnow as the fifth best starting pitcher in baseball. Bullpens are probably a wash. Game in Toronto. We're going to say that the Dodgers should be favored by a price of minus 133. They win 57% of the time. You are not going to get good value on the Dodgers almost assuredly in this game. It's probably Blue Jays or pass. And again, I think that depends on how you feel about Kikuchi. If you are concerned about his performance this season and don't think that he can maintain that, I think you pass. If you think that he's going to pitch like he's pitched this season and continue that level of performance, plus odds in the Blue Jays might be appealing to you. It's not anywhere near an A grade, so it's not a pick I'm running to make whatsoever. Maybe the first five market will offer something. Otherwise, we are looking at low 50s in Toronto, so likely closing the roof, and that leads us to that predicted total of 8.5. Cardinals and the Mets, 4.05 p.m. Eastern, the first of five games at this time slot, mid to low 50s. Wind will be blowing out to left field at 10 to 15 miles an hour. So the wind blowing out will kind of offset the cooler temperature. This will play like a pitcher-friendly ballpark at Citi Field, but maybe not quite as extreme as a typical April game would be, where we could see some really pitcher-friendly situations. So wind blowing out is going to offset that a little bit. Sonny Gray and Adrian Hauser. Sonny Gray has been fantastic. Talk about new additions and being pleased. If you're a Cardinals fan, you have to love what you've seen from him. Three incredible starts, 1.04 ERA, a 0.66 FIP. It's not been fluky. He's probably not quite this good, but he's been fantastic, and there's been no, you know, weird left on base, getting lucky, batting average on balls in play type stuff. He's a very good pitcher. Sideline ranks him number 19 in baseball out of the 261 pitchers that make the starting pitcher database. Adrian Hauser, on the other hand, not good and going the wrong direction, dropping in the pitcher ratings. This is a massive starting pitcher discrepancy. Adrian Hauser probably not as bad as that 745 ERA, but with a FIP and an ex-FIP, but starting with a 5, you can't be excited when he gets the ball every fifth day if you're a Mets fan. Offensively, maybe slight edge to the Mets bullpen. Mets bullpen has been fantastic. The issue is getting to that bullpen and how many innings can Hauser eat. It's a tough decision for a manager when you have a guy like that, because you know you have a good bullpen. You don't want to wear him out this early in the season, so you want to get innings from your starter. But if he's getting hit around, it's going to make for some tough decisions. The hope is for a guy like him, pitcher-friendly ballpark, Cardinals offense, not bad, not great. Maybe he can eat some innings, but that's going to be the big question mark in this game, is how deep can Hauser go? Because if he can get a little bit deep in this game, shorten this game for him, the Mets have a great chance to win this game at home. If not, it's going to be really uphill against a pitcher of Sonny Gray's caliber. Sideline says the Cardinals win the 55% of the time. This one's priced really well right now. It's almost like the books just took this model projection and made a price off of it. So right now, no value anywhere in this one. Maybe the first five market will offer something different in the morning. Those markets have not yet been released. But as of right now, I think this game's priced really well. You hate to take the Mets when they have Adrian Hauser going. But the Cardinals at a price like minus 125, current price that I'm seeing on him right now, even though Sonny Gray is good, is a little bit of a concern because you're laying a little bit of odds here with a team that's offense can disappear, with a team that doesn't have an edge at the bullpen. I probably would say Cardinals are pass, but I just don't think I can get behind minus 125. So it's not a game I'm looking at playing as of right now. See what the odds do in the morning. See if the first five market offers anything, but right now, nothing doing for me on that one. Athletics and the Orioles, mid-50s for this one in Baltimore. Wind will be blowing out at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Going to be a pitcher-friendly day in there because the slight breeze blowing out will only help a little bit. The mid-50-degree temperatures going to make the ball fly not quite as much as it usually would there. And Baltimore's been a pitcher-friendly ballpark, again, ever since they moved the fences in. J.P. Sears versus Cole Irvin. Sears has gotten good results in his five starts so far, but the underlying metrics are a bit of a concern, especially his xFIP at this point is actually a decent bit worse than his projection was coming into the season. So maybe a little bit of smoke and mirrors there. Cole Irvin for the Orioles, 4.64 ERA, kind of a line. His underlying metrics might be a little bit better than that, but I mean, no one really thought he would be a top 50 pitcher anyway. No one thought he'd be a bottom 50 pitcher, kind of run of the mill, and that's what we've seen here. So a pair of lefties that both can be okay, both can struggle. The biggest difference, of course, is that Sears has to go up against the Orioles' incredible offense, whereas Irving gets to face the Athletics' offense that was better last year than this year. But this year, they're not winning games off their offense. They're winning games off their bullpen. The offense just hasn't done it yet. I mentioned it almost every time we talk about the A's. Every day, their bullpen gets about a half a point better, and their offense gets about a half a point worse as the model's just continuing to adjust and continuing to adjust. At some point, right, we always talk about how do you know to overreact, underreact, or how do you try to find that perfect middle balance? And the model maybe not adjusting fast enough with the A's, but that's easy to say in hindsight, right? This offense really struggling. And that, of course, is what's going to be the biggest difference maker for the pitching is who they're facing on offense, of course. This Orioles offense, a little left-handed heavy. So that's kind of the big asterisk in this game is that the Orioles being so left-handed heavy right now fare much better against, projected much better against righties than lefties. So that'll be kind of the A's potential saving grace. That said, still think the Orioles make a lot of sense here. The model says they win this 2 out of 3 times, and the correct price should be minus 199. The current price I'm seeing, minus 168, would fall under the A grade threshold. The question you have to ask yourself on this is, do you feel comfortable playing the minus 168? On the money line, it is fairly steep, or is this going to be a game more suited for the -1 market? The latter is probably where I'm going to go with this, to be determined on exactly what the run line is. Because if the run line is priced too steep, because of course this is going to be a game where the public's probably going to be on the Orioles, and depending on exactly how that skews things, if the public's really on the run line, if the run line edge diminishes, maybe the money line's a little bit better. We'll see exactly how that plays out, what the official pick is in the morning. But it's Orioles or pass. I like the Orioles. I think the Orioles make a lot of sense. It's just, money line, -1. That's what we'll have to figure out as we're sorting through this. Again, all the official picks on Dub Club, if you're looking for that information, link in the show description will get you that. Otherwise, hopefully I'm giving you enough information to make a smart decision. And it's personally how you want to play it anyway. Remember that -1 market, if you want to build it yourself at a book that doesn't have it, you bet to win a certain amount of the money line. In this case, the easy way to think about it is money line price is minus 168, bet $168 to win 100, then you risk that exact amount that you want on the money line, risk 100 on the run line, whatever that happens to be. And then, of course, you multiply or divide out to scale to how much is appropriate for your bankroll from there. That's how you create the -1 market. So for this one, I'm on the Orioles. The only question is what type of play, and that kind of depends on what the run line price looks like at this point. Run line's not even out, so I can't even talk about it, but Orioles, I think, make a lot of sense here because as much as I am concerned about the fact that the Orioles are a little bit left-handed heavy, lefty on a lefty, that's not enough to make me say that the Orioles still don't win this game more times than not by a decent bit and that they're a little bit underpriced. So Orioles for me in that one. Reds and the Rangers, probably closing the roof here for this one Saturday afternoon. Our run of really nice weather in Arlington might come to an end here Saturday, mid-80s for this one. Fairly hitter-friendly ballpark, makes the total run projection a little bit over 9. One where if I could get over 8.5, I'd be looking at that over 9 if the odds are good. Might make some sense in this one, especially with the Reds bullpen having a lot of question marks. The Rangers bullpen not looking quite as strong, maybe as one would have hoped. Hunter Green and Michael Lorenzen. We're going to be on the Rangers on this one. Y'all know the model a couple years ago took a stance and said, hey, the Mariners are better than you think. The Guardians are better than you think. And we just kind of backed them not every single night, but I mean, we had like A-grade plays in those teams combined probably 10 times a week. And we made a lot of money doing that a couple years ago. Last year, I don't think we really had a stance at the model. This year, the stance seems to be it's just taking a stance against the Reds. We'll find out. When we were in the middle of that run with the Mariners, I wasn't sure at the start if that was how that was going to play out. It was just kind of like, hey, like, this is what the model's saying. We'll see how it goes, right? Same thing here. I don't know. We're too early to tell. But the model's taking a stance. It doesn't think the Reds are that good. You know, we'll be able to look back in hindsight in a few weeks, maybe in a month's time, and kind of say, hey, we've been break even on it. It hasn't really helped us or hurt us, or it's hurt us. We missed on the Reds, or maybe we've been able to make a profit of it. I don't know in the middle of it. We only can tell in hindsight, right? But the model just, again, thinks the Reds are a little bit overvalued. This is an interesting one specifically because when I look at this game, I don't have any problem fading the Reds. We've done a lot this year, but I kind of do have a little bit of a problem with this one. My concern is these starting pitchers. Michael Lorenzen only made the two starts. Hunter Green's made five. Green's ERA is 4.55. The underlying metrics are much more promising than that, more like mid threes, actually better than his projection. Green, I think, is going in the right direction, and I think there might be a little bit of value backing Hunter Green in that I think he's mispriced. I think in general he's probably better than maybe his ERA would suggest. Lorenz is the other way around. Now it's only two starts. I'm not going to overreact too much, but 2.45 ERA. But his projection coming into the season was mid fours. His FIP so far, only 11 innings, but mid fours. So the Reds have a starting pitcher at you. There's no doubt about it. And the model says it's about a half a standard deviation that Green's better than Lorenzen. It might actually be a little bit more than that. It's very possible that the Reds have a decent little starting pitcher edge here. They're going to give some of that back on the bullpen. They give some of it back being on the road. They give some of it back because the Rangers offense is better. Even if the Reds offense is a little bit better than the model realizes, the Rangers offense is better. So the model says the Rangers win the 61% of the time. I'm not sure it should be quite that high. Maybe 59, 58, but either way, the reason we talk about all the time, we like the A-grade plays, is even if we're missing a little bit on something like this, the gap is so big, it still makes sense to be on the Rangers. Current price for the Rangers is -119 right now. Unless something crazy happens, you're going to be looking at A-grade on the Rangers, and the A-grade plays continue to be profitable for us. On the whole, doesn't mean everyone wins. It just means that on the whole, we're winning more than we're losing, and or we're winning more on the ones we win than the ones losing on the ones we lose. And so the Rangers are the pick here at -119. I think it should be higher. I'm not sure it's my favorite fade we've had of the Reds this year, but to get the Rangers at a price like this at home, knowing that like if this game's tight after five innings, the Rangers got a really good chance. I just think -119 is still a really good value. I'm a little bit surprised this price isn't more like -140. And then at that point, you're saying, the Rangers are probably the right side here, but like that's getting steep, right? -119, I don't think that's steep at all. So the Rangers look to be a pretty good player Saturday afternoon. Nats and the Marlins, Mitchell Parker and Edward Cabrera. Folks, you look at these two starting pitchers, and the underlying metrics on both of these guys are fantastic. Mitchell Parker, all of a sudden, sideline has him as the number 32 rated pitcher. He's a guy, when he first came up, made his first start, we backed him, and the model said the model thought he would be average. I think it was against the Dodgers, and he looked great. We backed him, and we won money. The model was like, yep, he's good. And then he faced the Astros, and the model was like, yeah, we should back him. He's going to be good. And it worked out. He's not necessarily the best prospect in the National League coming up. I know that because I was able to claim this guy off waivers in my Dynasty League this weekend. I was thrilled to be able to pick him up for just a measly dollar. Maybe I should go rag on Jake there and just tell him he's falling asleep at the job. They're not picking up my boy Mitchell Parker here. 1.50 ERA, 1.14 FIP, 2.41 xFIP. I mean, coming in, the model liked what it saw from him. So far, nothing's changed yet. And folks, he's done that against the Dodgers and the Astros. And I know the Astros have had their problems. That's still a good lineup, right? It's still much better than the Marlins, right? We can all agree, right? As bad as the Astros have looked, and they've looked terrible. I'm an Astros fan. I know it's been awful to watch. Much better than the Marlins, right? Dodgers, much better than the Marlins, right? That doesn't mean he'll have success because anything can happen in one game, right? So this isn't don't necessarily, take all your money to bank on Mitchell Parker throwing a no-hitter. But, I mean, he's set up to have success here against the Marlins. There's really no other way around it. Edward Cabrera, similarly, underlying metrics look really good. Also two starts, only two starts for him as well. Cabrera's been a guy that's been very up and down, and it really just matters if he can find the strikes or not. When he struggles and he's kind of on the fringes, you know, he'll throw 30 pitches in an inning, strike out three guys, walk three guys, and he can only last four innings. And then if he gives up a hit in one of those innings, all of a sudden it's boom, it's three runs, right? But when he can command a little bit better, it's not much, just a little bit more from him. He looks really good. His stuff is fantastic. So far this year, so good. 114 FIP, 227 XFIP. So if you're a Marlins fan, if you have this guy in fantasy baseball, you know, you have to be looking at what he's done so far this season and think to yourself, hey, maybe this is the year he really puts it all together. So two pitchers that you have to like, two bullpens that are very mad. The Nationals bullpen model doesn't like them. Marlins bullpen hasn't performed well all season, but at least coming in, we thought they had some better pieces. So kind of a mixed bag there. The Nats offense isn't that great, but I guess it's better than the Marlins offense. Pretty coin tossy type game. Model says the Nats are slightly more likely to win than lose, that they should be a slight favorite in this game. You're able to get some plus odds in the Nats. Probably going to be pretty hard to turn that down. I love Mitchell Parker. He's done great for us so far the first few times of the season. Maybe he can get it done three times in a row. Cubs and the Red Sox. Upper 50s at Fenway. One we're going to want to check on the wind on. Wind looking a little bit in to start. Maybe a little bit more across at the end. About 10 miles an hour. So just enough to matter whether, again, it's in or across. You know, not going to be the biggest thing, but enough to shift your projected total maybe in the upper nines, the lower nines, which will really tell you how you would play if this total is hung at nine. You know, if this total is hung at nine and the projection is more 9.2, because we're looking at the wind blowing in, projection 9.3 is very different, especially if it's a total 9.5. If the wind shifts to more across, the projected total jumps to 10, that's a whole different story. So check back on the wind on this one here, either with us on Dub Club on Saturday morning, when that update comes out, or check the weather yourself, of course, on what direction the wind's going. Ben Brown and Josh Winkowski. Winkowski, a guy who's pitched out of the pen a little bit, started once. Very respectable so far, 420 ERA. Advanced metric text, we look better than that. You know, nothing to complain about. Ben Brown, 372 ERA. Underlying metrics, maybe even a little better than that. I like Brown. I think he's a pretty solid pitcher. Both these guys, I think, have some upside potential here. As you can see, according to the model, both of them grayed out as slightly better than average. Both offenses, pretty average. Both bullpens, so this is a pretty similar setup. We got the Red Sox, excuse me, winning 53% of the time. That's basically home field. Otherwise, it's hard to really differentiate much between these two teams. They look very similar. No line on this one. The reason why there is no line is that we have not confirmed Ben Brown for the Cubs yet. So that's obviously up in the air if he's actually the guy that goes. But if he does, really hard to determine anything different. It's like kind of looking at a mirror for the most part in these two teams at this point. So Red Sox slightly more likely when they lose. Price matters. And of course, full update. And if the Red Sox, excuse me, if the Cubs change pitchers, full update coming on Dub Club later. Astros and the Rockies, folks, we are back to Mexico City. Last year, we were able to make a killing on that first game where we were betting over 11.5 and then 13.5 and whatever it was until the number finally got driven up to a really high number. They figured that out the first game, got bet up enough, and the second game actually went under. But the second game went under not because of the park and the environment. If I remember correctly, there were a ton of guys left on base. Like every inning, there were like two guys left on base. There were a bunch of hard hit balls just right to people. It was kind of fluky the way there weren't many runs. This park factor, folks, is through the roof. So I mean, you're talking about should have a lot of runs. Anytime Cal Quantrill's pitching, you expect a lot of runs anyway. Not very good. Underlying metrics actually worse than his 4.33 ERA. And that's not what you usually say about a Coors Field pitcher. You usually say for a guy who has half his starts in Denver, the underlying metrics are actually better than his ERA. Not the case with him. I have very little confidence in him. I have very little confidence in the Rockies offense. Of course, in this ballpark, it'll play like a little league park, so anybody can home runs. But the Astros should have a field day scoring runs. Ronel Blanco pitching for them. Not as good as that 1.33 ERA. Decent pitcher, but the xFIP of 4.43, you know, is a little bit of a concern there. I'm not sure he's going to be ace material. I like what I've seen from him. I mentioned this before, the new use of the changeup. His ceiling has jumped. Last year when I saw him pitch, it was like maybe he'll stick around in the big leagues. Now at an 87 grade, I think he's good enough to be, you know, a number three, number four, somewhere in the middle of the rotation. I don't think he's an ace. The ERA has been there. The no-hitter was fantastic. that was a little bit of good luck. In general, I think he's good, not great. He's going to have a hard time keeping the ball in the yard just because of the park. But other than that, he's set up for success against the Rockies offense. That's not very good. Folks, we're projecting 17.7 runs on average in this one. It's going to be a wild setup. But folks, the variance in this total is through the roof. And I think you saw it last year with that game. You're going to see a lot of runners on. You're going to see a lot of doubles. The way the altitude is so thin up there, the way that park is so small, balls are going to, like, you're going to have, like, singles that hit to the wall because it's so short. And if you have a first closer, like, they can get it back in really quick. You're going to see routine fly balls as home runs. You're going to see, you know, just all sorts of crazy things. But if we kind of see what happened in that Sunday game last year, you might end up with only 10, 11 runs. But, I mean, if the sequencing happens right, you might end up with 30. Gonna be a high variance total. Again, we're projecting on average about 18. The total that I'm seeing right now is 16.5. I would be looking to go over a number like 16.5. 8-8 gets you the win. 8-8's not extremely likely, to be honest, when you get that. 8-8's a whole lot less likely than San Diego, like 3-3 is a whole lot more likely, right? I think I'd be leaning over. I wouldn't be going too heavy on the over at a number like that just because I think the variance is really high. So a differential of 1.2 runs between the projected total from sideline and the book's total of 16.5 is a whole lot less than the projected total difference of 1.2 runs that you would see in any other ballpark in America. It's like Coors, but a smaller park. Basically, what they've done is they've taken a park like Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, and they've put it in Denver. Except actually, I think an extra 1,000 feet of altitude. So it's actually more extreme than Denver. But at least in Denver, it's a really big park, which at least limits the home runs, but you don't have that here. So a lot of variance in this total. The 1.2 run differential doesn't mean quite as much. I still think over is the way to go in this. I sure as heck wouldn't be playing the under. As much as I don't trust the Rockies offense, if I plugged in a good offense for the Rockies, this projected total with Cal Quantrill pitching, with the Rockies bullpen pitching, with the Astros bullpen being just very mediocre at this point, projecting going forward, you'd easily project 20 runs. But unfortunately, not the case. We do have a slight breeze blowing in. I'm not sure it's going to help any, but we do have a slight breeze blowing in. So something to take note of there. This one's all Astros. I'm actually treating this game as a home game for the Rockies with regards to probability. Here's why. They are traveling, and that's part of the home field advantage. A part of the home field advantage, of course, specifically, is the fact that pitching in altitude is different. Your stuff does different things. How you have to grip the ball, the movement, all that stuff does different. Their pitchers should be better equipped than anybody to handle that. So even treating this like a home game for the Astros, I still think you're looking at an A grade on the Astros at this point. The only way you got to figure out is how you're going to play them. Personally, I think the run line is going to make a lot of sense, assuming the price is reasonable. The A grade threshold for the run line, along with all the first fives, is available on Dub Club. If you're with us over there supporting us on that platform, again, free trial in the show description to get you started over there. But I have to think run line makes a lot of sense. I would not be putting the Astros in a money line parlay just because this park is so bonkers. Weird things can happen. High variance game. I'm looking more for the Rockies offense is terrible. The Astros are the better team. I think they come out on top. And in a game where I'm expecting a bunch of runs, the probability they win by more than one isn't that much different than the probability they won by one. The model knows that. And the model has that in its calculation. So its calculating its probability of covering the run line is fairly high given the situation. And in fact, we're getting to the point where it's the model having a hard time with that because of the projected number of runs. It's just a weird ballpark. So again, run line probably the way I'm looking here to back the Astros. And again, lean over. Wouldn't be putting all my money on it at 16.5 just because anything can happen, but it's hard not to see a ton of runs happening in that park. Royals and Tigers around 70 degrees to start, mid 60s to close. Wind will be blowing in about 10 miles an hour. Gonna make it fairly pitcher friendly here. Brady Singer and Casey Mize. Singer really just depends on which eye you close, how you look at him. 276 the year on the season, 354 xFIP. That's much better than his projection coming into the season, 423 FIP. I stand by what I've been saying with him the last several starts. I think he's better than he was last year when things fell apart. I'm not sure he's quite as good as that really good stretch he had before. I think the truth lies somewhere in between. And again, depending on which eye you close, you can kind of make a case of one more than the other. I think he's respectable. Better pitcher than Casey Mize, who has had good results as well, but that 418 xFIP points in the wrong direction. And again, we have more historical data on Casey Mize being more mediocre, whereas Singer, while he struggled last year, at least historically, has had times where he's been a really good pitcher. So we're going to give the Royals the edge, starting pitcher. They've got the edge, but the bats have got the edge in the bullpen. All slight edges, though. Counteracting with the game locations, this is pretty much a coin toss game. Model says Royals won 51% of the time that the price should be minus 103. That's the current price that I'm actually seeing is minus 103. So the market has the Tigers as slight favorites. Sideline says the Royals should be slight favorites. So I'm leaning Royals on this one, but right now there's just not enough value to mess with. Maybe the first five market will offer us something. Raising the White Sox, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, upper 60s in Chicago. Wind will be blowing across the start, but then blowing in at the back end of the game. Going to make it play a little pitcher-friendly, not by much. Aaron Civale and Jonathan Cannon. Civale, 390 ERA. Underlying metrics pretty much align with that. Respectable pitcher for the Rays. Bullpen for the Rays. Definitely has some question marks. Offense has some question marks. This is a Rays team that not really convinced has got it figured out this season. Of course, one way to help figure it out is playing the White Sox. Jonathan Cannon, though, does appear to be potentially a bright spot for them. One of the prospects they've called up, 7.27 ERA, but folks, don't be fooled by that. FIP of 199, XFIP of 342. It's only eight innings, so I'm not running to the bank with that because anything can happen in eight innings, right? But it is a solid start for him, I think, with regards to just eyeing how he's performed. And again, as we've been talking about all week, all last week, and I'll probably continue to talk about it for the rest of the season. Remember, attributing earned runs to a pitcher, not necessarily the best way to do it because we attribute all of what happened to a pitcher in some cases. And if an error happens, we attribute none of it to the pitcher. And in reality, in both cases, there is some shared responsibility. Do you have a shortstop who has any range? And it might be a hit because you've got Derek Jeter at shortstop at the end of his prime and he can't move. He can't make a play to his right, you know, that sort of thing. Or do you have a guy making good plays behind you, making you look better, right? So it's more nuanced than just saying, this is all the pitcher's fault and this is none of the pitcher's fault. And that's what some of these advanced metrics do. So I know he's giving up some runs, but I actually am fairly encouraged for him, and maybe I'm just only fairly encouraged. I'm trying to look for something to be positive about with this terrible White Sox team. Maybe the thing to be positive about is I think their offense is actually not as bad as the Rockies, which is literally the lowest bar possible, but here we are. I'm not saying he's a good pitcher. Still gets a grade of 107. Civale's a better pitcher for sure, but I think maybe the starting pitcher discrepancy isn't quite as large as you would think when you look at the ERAs, when you look at the names. It's there. Savali's the better pitcher. Model has it by about a standard deviation. I'm just trying to tell you, maybe it's not quite as big as you think. What is a big edge? The bullpen difference and the offensive difference. The Rays are big favorites. They should be big favorites. Model says they win 61% of the time. Might be eyeing a White Sox first five type play. They've done okay there here recently. We haven't had great luck with the White Sox first five, but they've won some of them. This is one where maybe that makes sense, especially if the wind that looks like it's in at the end of the game. Maybe if that comes in a little bit earlier, that could help us out to really dampen down the runs a little bit. Maybe you can get a 0-0, first five. I'm not saying the White Sox win the game or win the first five, but right now we've been fading the White Sox pretty hard here as of late. I think we faded them like all week. We took the Twins all week against them. We took the Rays on Friday night. That game hasn't happened yet, so who knows if that looks smart or not. I don't think this is a time to fade them just because I think they're being priced as if this is another massive starting pitching difference. And I think the offensive and the bullpens are there as a difference, but the starting pitcher difference, again, not maybe as big as it looks. And so for the first time, like all week, I think it's White Sox or pass. If you want to pass, that's fine. And I'm not playing a full game. That bullpen is atrocious, but I might be looking first five on the White Sox in that one. But as always, folks, shop around some of these first five markets. Very wildly from book to book. Some of the game markets very wildly book to book. In a sport like baseball, it really matters to have multiple books at your disposal. It's not like football, where some of these big football markets, I mean, for the most part, the difference between book to book, you might get minus 115 or minus 112 or minus 110 or whatever. But I mean, it's like if it's 3.5, it's 3.5 everywhere, right? Baseball, you don't see that. It really matters to have multiple books. So if you don't have an account there yet, BetUS is a place to sign up today. 125% bonus on your first over three deposits. Folks, I don't know how long they're going to do this. They're still doing it now. It may end at any time. It may come may end of April. I don't know. So if you're not there yet, take advantage of that. Get that account signed up. so you can get some of that free bonus money there. Link in the show description.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Yankees and the Brewers projecting a nice night in Milwaukee here. Mid to low 70s, opening up the roof. Carlos Rodon and Joe Ross. Rodon has gotten the results, 2.70 ERA. The underlying metrics I'm concerned about, xFIP in the fives, I'm not sure. He needs to do something different. If he keeps doing what he's doing, by the end of the season, he's going to have given up a whole lot more runs than he has so far, not just because of the volume. That said, this Brewers offense, maybe not the one to take advantage of it. So that's what's working in his favor. The thing not working in his favor, the Brewers are a pretty right-handed heavy lineup and actually project to be close to league average against the lefty. So kind of a counter to a counter to a counter there. Rodon's looked okay so far with regards to the runs. When you look under the hood, maybe not as good as it's looked. I have concerns. On the flip side, Brewers offense isn't good. On the flip side of that, they are kind of right-handed heavy, so they at least are set up to have more success against a lefty than otherwise. On the flip side of that, Joe Ross, 4.05 ERA, underlying metrics in line with that. Respectable pitcher, probably going to have a hard time with his Yankees offense, but he's not like he's a terrible guy who you expect to get shelled. Brewers have a big bullpen edge. That Brewers bullpen, been talking about it here the last couple weeks, has been really what's carried them to their wins, because it sure as heck hasn't been their offense. After the hot offensive start, it has fallen off a cliff. Sideline says the Brewers or the Yankees win this game 56% of the time. Might have a slight edge on the Yankees right now, but we are about a dime away from that A grade price of -115. But folks, I stand by what I typically say with this, and that is if the Yankees do ever get to about a B grade value, I kind of think about treating it like an A grade. We tend to not have a lot of value spots in the Yankees. They're typically overpriced because of the Yankee name, Yankees and Dodgers both. And so right now we'd be looking at about a C grade on the Yankees. But if we can get down to that B grade threshold for them, might be worth a look. It's Yankees or pass at this point, not necessarily because of any one thing, as much as I just think, while I have a little bit of concern about Rodon, I still think he's a better pitcher than Joe Ross. While I have a little bit of concern about the Brewers being right-handed heavy facing a lefty, Yankees offense is still better. So the Yankees still have some big edges here. And then at that point, you just hope they have a lead at the end and the bullpen edge the Brewers have doesn't really come into play. Guardians of the Braves, low 70s to start, upper 60s to close. Wind will be blowing in at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Going to make it play fairly pitcher-friendly. And folks, this shouldn't be a huge surprise to you if you've been watching any time. We've talked about it all last season, all season before that, that Atlanta can play very hitter-friendly come summer and fairly pitcher-friendly when it's chilly in April and October when you get to the postseason. Tanner Bibee and Charlie Morton. Bibee, 4.44 ERA. That's actually pretty representative. He's okay, not great against the Braves offense. He might have a hard day. Charlie Morton, same thing, 4.70 ERA. Probably a little better than that. But the biggest benefit for him is, while the Guardians offense has looked good so far, and does have a lot of lefties, I still think they're anywhere as good as the Braves offense. So Braves have a little bit of an edge there on offense, maybe a little bit of an edge to the bullpen. They're at home. They're favored. They should be favored. The model says they win 57% of the time, and the price should be -130. We're nowhere near that right now. So at this point, it's Guardians or pass. We've played the Braves a lot here lately, thinking there's edges on them. But in this case, I think where they typically have an edge at starting pitcher is probably mitigated by the fact that Morton might be a little better, but if so, it's not by much. The Braves bullpen, that's usually so much better, not that much better than the Guardians bullpen, and the Braves offense is good, and that's why they're favored, but they might be favored by a little bit too much. So it's Guardians or pass, maybe first five market, maybe a run line, a couple different ways you can play this. The official pick will come out on Dub Club in the morning, but it's, like I said, it's Guardians or pass. Just got to figure out the exact way that we want to attack it. Phillies and the Padres, almost a carbon copy of the game from Friday night with regards to how we're looking at this. Two solid pitchers, Ranger Suarez and Dylan Cease. I'm a little more positive about these starting pitchers than I was Friday night, but the Friday night guys, and if Friday hasn't happened, have some potential to do it. They have a lot of history of doing it. These guys have looked great this season, grayed out really well. Underlying metrics, I mean, both these guys have ERAs in the one, FIPs in the twos. I mean, both these guys are good starting pitchers, really good. Top 30 in baseball, really no complaints there. both these offenses can definitely struggle. The Padres offense better, Phillies offense a little bit better. Games in San Diego, the Padres are favored. They should be favored here. Model says they win 55% of the time. Current price on this is minus 110 for the Padres. So we're liking that. And it's never a bad idea to back Dylan Cease. Many of you probably already well aware of that. And just like Friday night, we're looking at a total of around 7 is what the model says. Under 7.5 would be really hard to pass up. Maybe the first 5 totals a little bit better, TBD. And this is where we talk about, too, the full game. Maybe the bullpen projections from the model, you know, not knowing exactly who pitched the night before matters, especially right now, you know, recording this before Friday night. So if Friday night, if this game goes extras and one team uses all their good relievers, either one doesn't, that's going to matter. And with regards to the win probability, with regards to the projected total, right, that sort of thing. So there's some caveats there in that full game that maybe the first 5 total would be a little bit better on. It just depends on the number. I'm not dying to go under, you know, not playing under 3 in the first 5, that's for sure. 3.5 is not overly exciting, need good odds, but, you know, first 5 under 4 would make a lot of sense if you could get it. I'm not sure you will. But again, the first 5 market's not even out yet. So kind of just speculating wildly here. But Padres seem like a pretty good pick here. If you can find that minus 110 A grade that the model says is worth it, go ahead and fire away. Pirates and Giants, 9 p.m. Eastern, mid-50s. Very similar situation to Friday night. Wind will be blowing out 15-ish miles an hour. But again, doesn't really matter in that park, given the way it swirls around. So not going to be really a concern there for that wind. Going to play pretty pitcher-friendly. Martin Perez and Jordan Hicks. Perez, probably not quite as good as that 3.45 ERA, but holding his own so far. Very respectable. Jordan Hicks, I've loved backing him. 1.61 ERA. I'm not sure he's that good, though. I loved backing him because early on, the model picked up like, hey, this guy is looking pretty decent, and the market was treating him like he's average. I'm not sure how the market's treating him now. At some point, I think we're going to flip. We're going to swing, and all of a sudden, the market's going to think he's really good. If he keeps pitching like this, his ERA is going to jump. Now, the benefit for him is that he's playing in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark, so it'll help keep his ERA down. But that said, 4.43 xFIP for Hicks does cause a little bit of concern. I like backing him if he's being treated like he's average. If the market's treating this like these two pitchers are the same, give me the Giants all day of the week. If the market's treating this like Hicks is a much better pitcher, that seems like it's probably what it should be. So that's just something to keep in mind there. Right now, I might have a slight lean to the Giants. This one's tough to peg because, as I mentioned for Friday's game, both these offenses have just really disappeared at times. And so that's going to matter. Both these bullpens have also had some hiccups at times this year. So a lot of variability in this game. Model says the Giants win 59% of the time and that it should be priced at minus 147. Right now, you can do about a nickel better than that, but not quite good enough to get to that A-grade threshold. That's, of course, the point where we start firing away. And a game that is projected to have a total of 7.8. So unfortunately, not a game where we can go under 7.5, which is a fun number to go under if you can find it, but this would not be the spot for that. Twins of the Angels, 9:38 p.m. Eastern. First pitch, low 60s for this one, maybe creeping into the upper 50s at the end. Wind will be blowing out 5 to 10 miles an hour. Going to play maybe a little pitcher-friendly, but not by much. Not quite as hitter-friendly as Friday night, where we're looking at some pretty strong winds blowing out again. Who knows if that'll come to fruition with regards to home runs, but we're looking at some really strong winds blowing out of this park on Friday night at this point. Saturday night, going to be a lot calmer. Colder temperature going to matter a little bit more than the wind, but be pretty reasonably normal. Nothing too extreme here. Chris Paddock and Jose Soriano. Soriano's looked really good so far. 3.43 ERA. Model has him at a 92 grade. That's pretty good. FIP a little bit higher. XFIP a little bit lower, though. So definitely some reasons to be pleased with him. I've watched him a couple times here. He kind of reminds me a little bit of the Edward Cabrera light. You know, really good stuff. Throws hard. Not always sure where the ball's going, and that's going to be the biggest thing for him. If he can find some command, he's definitely got some potential to do really well, and this Twins offense looks concerning right now, so he might have some success there. Paddock, 5.57 ERA, not as bad as that, but I don't think he's anything special. I think the Angels have the edge starting pitcher, but of course the Twins have the edge in the bullpen, and I'm thinking on this one, you know, the same thing I kind of said about Friday's game, the price is a little bit different, but for Friday's game where I was saying, you know, I don't really want any part of the Angels full game because I just don't trust that bullpen. They are going to win some games, but that bullpen's going to be a headache, and that first five market on the Angels might make more sense. If you're looking at the Angels, that's probably where you want to go. If you're looking at the Twins, you probably want to stick the full game unless the market prices it accordingly. That's why we have a model to help us figure that out, because sometimes the market prices it really well and it's figured that out, or sometimes it just kind of misses something, right? And so trying to kind of sort through that and figure out where is there more value. You can have your general lean, which again, my general thought process, Angels first five, Twins full game would be the way I'm looking at it, depending on which side I like. But if the market overcorrects on one of them, maybe that's not the case. Right now, models got this at a 50-50 game, and the Twins are being priced pretty close to that A-grade value. So right now, I would say, hey, plus odds in the Twins, let's do it. These starting pitchers are pretty close. If the Twins can hang in early, they got a good shot to them with their bullpen. And that's why I said if I'm playing the Angels, I'm playing at first five, because if the Angels aren't up in the first five, it's not that they can't win, but it's not going to be very likely. So I don't want to be laying minus odds with the Angels for the full game. I'd rather just play the first five and get a dodge, unless for whatever reason, again, the first five is priced, you know, minus 150 or something stupid. I don't know. I don't think it would be, but in case it is, I just have to caveat that, right? We don't play things at terrible prices, right? Maybe leaning Twins here full game. If we can get that A-grade threshold pretty close for their Saturday night game. And then wrapping us up, Diamondbacks and the Mariners. Folks, it's funny to think of this game happening, watching the game in Mexico City, and then when that game ends, flipping the channel over to this one, which is probably what I will do, just because of the sheer shock factor of going to Seattle with upper 40 degrees, pitcher-friendly ballpark, and a projected total of 7. It'll feel like it's not even the same game. Diamondbacks, of course, have an edge on offense. Bullpen flips that edge back to the Mariners, and starting pitching-wise would be a huge edge for the Mariners here. George Kirby, number 21 in baseball, according to Sideline. Right now, the Diamondbacks have not confirmed who they are starting, and so this may be a bullpen game, maybe someone else, I don't even know, but right now, I'm just using what Fangraphs has. They've got Slade Ciccone going. If so, he's very average, not probably as good as that 3 ERA. It's one start. Not great, not terrible. Anybody can have success against this Mariners offense because it can be very hit or miss. But assuming you have an average pitcher here going for Arizona like Ciccone, he will have an edge over the Mariners. He will not have as big of an edge as George Kirby will have over the Diamondbacks, just because Kirby is a really, really good pitcher. Another game where if I could find under 7.5, I'd love it. Don't know where it'll land. And again, who starts matters. If it's someone else, the update comes to Dub Club. But the model says the Mariners will win this 57% of the time. Again, mainly on the strength of George Kirby and the bullpen behind it, because it sure as heck ain't on the strength of its offense. That's what we've got today. Thanks for watching. Remember, Dub Club gets you the updates, full set of picks, exactly which way we're going on some of these things, all the first five stuff and run line stuff, which isn't even out yet, so I can't even talk about it. But hopefully this early look and information gives you some great ways to attack this. And if you want more, Dub Club is the place to be. If you're with us already, we really appreciate your support. And if you're not, sign up today for that free trial. Check it out and see if you like it. Otherwise, this weekend, best of luck. We'll be back for games on Monday. And remember, as always, you can eat your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.